From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Romans chapter 7 and verse 13. Sin, exceeding sinful. Beware of light thoughts of sin. At the time of conversion, the conscience is so tender that we are afraid of the slightest sin. Young converts have a holy timidity, a godly fear lest they should offend against God. But alas, very soon the fine bloom upon these first ripe fruits is removed by the rough handling of the surrounding world. The sensitive plant of young piety turns into a willow in afterlife, too pliant, too easily yielding. It is sadly true that even a Christian may grow by degrees so callous that the sin which once startled him does not alarm him in the least. By degrees men get familiar with sin. The ear in which the cannon has been booming will not notice slight sounds. At first a little sin startles us, but soon we say, "Is it not a little one?" Then there comes another, larger, and then another, until by degrees we begin to regard sin as but a little ill, and then follows an unholy presumption. We have not fallen into open sin. True, we have tripped a little, but we stood upright in the main. We may have uttered one unholy word, but as for the most of our conversation, it has been consistent. So we palliate sin. We throw a cloak over it. We call it by dainty names. Christian, beware how thou thinkest lightly of sin. Take heed lest thou fall by little and little. Sin, a little thing? Is it not a poison? Who knows its deadliness? Sin, a little thing? Do not the little foxes spoil the grapes? Doth not the tiny coral insect build a rock which wrecks a navy? Do not little strokes fell lofty oaks? Will not continual droppings wear away stones? Sin, a little thing? It girded the Redeemer's head with thorns and pierced his heart. It made him suffer anguish, bitterness, and woe. Could you weigh the least sin in the scales of eternity, you would fly from it as from a serpent, and abhor the least appearance of evil. Look upon all sin as that which crucified the Savior, and you will see it to be exceeding sinful.
Death of mercy, can there be? Whence to me
Imagine a boy growing up under the influence of a drunken father, participating in the violence and bloodshed of Northern Ireland in the 1970s, and being imprisoned in the Maze, the most notorious prison in the country. Yet, by the grace of God and the influence of caring loved ones, this young man's life was transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thorough was the change that Thomas Martin became a powerful preacher whose testimony and ministry has seen many men and women brought to new life in Christ. Thomas Martin's story of the miracle of God's saving grace has been set down in a book entitled Out of the Maze, written by Noel Davidson. And Let the Bible Speak is happy to make copies of this encouraging and heartwarming book available free of charge to all who request it. For a free copy of Out of the Maze, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of Out of the Maze, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, in which the Apostle Paul explains why there is no condemnation for those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. The law of God could reveal sin and pronounce God's judgment upon it, but it had no power to deliver men from their sin. But what was impossible for the law, Christ accomplished by his death on the cross. There on Calvary, God punished our sins in the flesh of his dear Son. By taking upon himself real human flesh, Christ did what was needed to be done about sin. The depths of his suffering on the cross reveal what the depraved heart of sinful man is capable of. At the same time, Christ's sacrifice shows us the amazing grace of God. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, God's saving power in his incarnate Son.
Salvation, we are told, is of the Lord. It's of God. We are told that we were dead in trespasses and sins. You've got this awful description of human depravity. People question total depravity and total inability and total moral corruption. Read the opening verses of Ephesians chapter 2. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath. What a picture! Then you've one of the greatest transformations in Scripture. There is the rottenness, the wickedness, the deadness, the depravity of man under the dominion of the devil and under the condemnation of God. Children of wrath. But God. Those two words are the hinge on which our destiny turns. Those two words mark the difference between eternal hell and eternal glory. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Then he gives us for the first time in this chapter that glorious statement that's repeated down in verse 8, by grace ye are saved. That's the meaning of grace. Grace is not God patting us on the back saying, you've done your best. That's not grace. Grace is not God coming along and saying to a sinner, I'm going to help you do your best. That's not grace. Grace is God coming to a dead, devil-dominated, depraved, rotten, hell-deserving sinner who's already under the condemnation of a broken law, who can do nothing to save himself and doesn't even want to do anything to save himself. God coming to that sinner, intervening, saving him with a great salvation. That's grace. Amazing grace. You see, we never loved God. Not a sinner in the world loves God. He might love a God of his own imagination. Never loves the God of truth. The Bible says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. A wonderful statement indeed. A glorious truth. God took the initiative. The law couldn't do it. But what the law couldn't do, God. Which leads me to say this third thing. God did what the law could not do by taking three, or should I say, making three stupendous actions. These are things that he did. Three things. First, he sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now that's the incarnation of the Son of God. The word incarnation simply means the enfleshment. If you were in Britain and you were going in to order chili, you would order it by its full name. And it would be chili con carne. Chili with meat. Chili with flesh. Comes from a Latin word. The enfleshment. The incarnation of the Son of God. Paul is speaking about Christ and his coming into the world. And I want you to notice first he identifies the person of the Lord Jesus. You see, there's no gospel without his person. People, and I've heard this so much. People of all sorts, you get surprised at the stupidity of preachers. You don't make too much of doctrine. In fact, I've heard of professors who have said, it'll deaden. It'll take away your zeal for evangelism. It'll destroy your simple Christian love. If your doctrine takes away your zeal for evangelism, then your doctrine is either the doctrine of devils or you are badly backslidden. And if your doctrine takes away your Christian love, then your doctrine, again, is either the doctrine of devils, or you are badly backslidden, and you're making God's truth an excuse for your own sin. You see, the truth of God's word never deadens. The truth of God's word never hardens a heart that's right with God. There's no gospel apart from the person. His own son. Let me stop you there and let that sink in. God sending or having sent his own son, the darling of his bosom, the eternal object of the Father's love. In Colossians 1:13, he's called his dear son, the son of his love, his co-equal, co-eternal, co-essential. Those are huge theological terms. I wish I had time to do a wee bit of theology tonight. His co-equal, co-eternal, co-essential Son, God of very God, the brightness of the Father's glory, the outshining, as it were, like the rays of the sun of the Father's glory, the express image of the Father's person. This is the one whom God sent. Had God sent Gabriel, he could not have done the job. Had he sent all the angels of glory, those mighty hosts with flaming swords could never have broken the bondage of sin, the claim of the law. But God sent his own Son. Notice how he describes the incarnation of his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That's a very important statement. First of all, he sent him in flesh. It was real flesh. It wasn't a lookalike flesh. It was not some special creation of the Holy Spirit and just placed in the womb of the Virgin Mary. It was of her substance. It was a real humanity and a real flesh. And yet, it was not sinful flesh. He looked like everybody else. But it was not sinful flesh. It was in the likeness of sinful flesh. There is another emphasis there. God did not send his son to an Eden. He sent him to a cursed earth. When God sent the first Adam, he placed him in a perfect garden of God. He placed him in an environment that was altogether conducive to his remaining in holiness. Everything in the creation of God was a friend of holiness, with the exception of that serpent, that devil, that fallen angel. But the whole earthly creation, perfect, a friend to Adam and his holiness. When God sent the last Adam, the second man, it was to an earth cursed. Romans chapter 8, a little lower in the chapter, an earth groaning. The whole creation groaning under the weight of the curse on man's sin. God sent his son into an earth that was hostile. An earth that was full of hatred. An earth that was ready to erupt in rebellion against the very Savior who came to deliver it. He sent his son into the midst of men hardened in their wickedness, who were slaves of Satan and loved their slavery, and were ready to rise up against the Redeemer. Yet God took this first great step. He sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. The second action that he took was he made his son to be a sin offering. Notice those words. He sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. That little phrase very generally could mean about sin. He sent him about this matter of sin. He sent him to do all that was necessary to deal with this matter of sin. That was his mission. It was about sin. Why did he come? He came about sin. He came to do what needed to be done about sin. That's why he came. But that little phrase in the New Testament has an added significance. And it is the significance of blood sacrifice. In Hebrews 10, verse 6, verse 8, verse 18, three times this little phrase appears, and in each case it is in connection with sacrifices for sin, offering for sin. In Galatians 1, verse 4, the phrase appears again, and it says of Christ who gave himself for our sins. You see, when God sent his Son into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh, he sent him to do what needed to be done about sin. And what needed to be done was something radical. It wasn't to put a patch on sin. It wasn't to put a temporary covering on sin. It wasn't to ameliorate the lives of sinners. It was to go to the very root of the problem. So God laid our sins on him. Let's get that. God took all the burden. All this mighty load of all the sins of all his people throughout all history. And he laid that sin on Jesus. Spotless Lamb of God. And the Lord Jesus willingly assumed the full responsibility for all that sin. First step, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Second step, he sent him for sin to be an offering to deal with sin. That led to the third great step or action that God took. He punished our sin in his own Son. He condemned, and the idea is not just sin in general, he condemned our sin in the flesh. And it's the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, and I'll only have time. This is not a theology lecture, so I'll only have time just to say this in passing, but it is of immense importance that you understand that the sin being laid on Jesus, the smiting that took place, is a reference to it being laid upon his humanity. Oh, he's God and man in two distinct natures in one person forever. And he never lost that union with his deity. But it is in his human nature that Jesus suffers. It's in his humanity that he bears our sin in his own body to the tree. God condemned our sin in the flesh of Jesus Christ. Isaiah tells us in chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, he was stricken, he was smitten of God. Never forget that.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.